Saturn coming in as Loeb. Milicic centered it.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get it going. It is Tuesday, June 24th, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale's on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Hello, Vix.
Hello, Pat.
How are we doing?
We're doing fantastic, actually. What Thanks I'd for like asking. You?
I'm doing very well.
Okay.
And this hour, we get the opportunity, as we do every week, albeit after a couple-week hiatus, good to check in with our good buddy Megan Mickelson, the color voice of the Calgary Flames, joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right now on this Tuesday. I also hope that you don't choke on your Fresca today. Hi, Mick. How are we doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I am enjoying a Fresca, and it's a big week, Pat. You know why?
Why?
Outside of the NHL draft, it is the last week of school for the kids.
Oh.
So that means that I only have like a few more lunches to pack after packing what feels like 1 million of them this year. But on the flip side, I'll have my two kiddos at home, and we'll have to keep them entertained for the rest of the summer. But exciting nonetheless. Last week of school, no more lunches to pack. I'm sure all the parents out there feel me on that one.
So this is the final week, hey? So they go all the way until the end of June. It's been a while since I was in school.
Yeah.
Do we go all the way to the end of June?
I mean, I don't remember going all the way to the end of June, but it's both a good thing and a bad thing, I guess.
Yeah, well,
more lunches to pack,
but lots more outdoors time for your two. So that congratulations on the final week of school. You made it through it through another year.
I'm still here.
Yeah, exactly. You're still with us. Hey, it's good to chat with you. We had some Flames news this week and late last week, and while we've been gone, that we'll get to in our weekly chat. But I thought maybe we'd start with free agency, friends, because here we are, June 24th, which means we're now exactly 1 week away from the opening of free agency. Between now and the opening of free agency, we'll have 7 rounds of the NHL draft this weekend. But as we move towards free agency, and we know that the Flames came a point away from being a playoff team this past year, and we know they'd like to build on what they did this past year, and we also know that free agency can be when a lot of mistakes are made when it comes to overpayments and contracts that could hurt you down the road. So knowing all those things, is there any one area or any one spot that you're really interested in seeing Craig Conroy target in free agency this year?
Well, I think like you think about the next week and like, man, is it big and is it important? And, you know, when you think about free agency and what the Flames, you know, could, what or should be looking for when it comes to that, like, I think it's really going to depend on, you know, what happens in the next week, both with the NHL draft, but with also, you know, the pending UFAs and Rasmus Anderson and Dan Vladar, of course, like at the top of that list. And so I think, like, for me, when I think about that and what the Flames should go after, like, it's really going to depend on what happens with those two guys and what they end up, where they end up picking, you know, whether they, if they're going to trade up or down, or, you know, we've heard talks of both when it comes to the draft. You know, I think that at the end of the day, what they're looking for in free agency is really going to depend on all of that. In saying that, I think, you know, for me, if Rasmus Anderson is going to get dealt, if Dan Vladar decides to move on, then, you know, it's very clear they need another defenseman. And I would like to see them, you know, find another goalie. Yes, they have Devin Cooley, but I think having, you know, another option back there would be really important, especially if they want to continue to, you know, and not try to win the Stanley Cup, but to be competitive and to make a push for the playoffs. You need solid goaltending and you need really good defense. So, you know, I think for me, just based on, you know, what we've heard, the things that are kind of swirling around, you know, I listened to Frank, who was on with you guys as well, and, you know, just hearing kind of what looks like is going to happen. Yeah, I think a defenseman and a goalie are definitely at the top of my list.
Yeah, if I'm sitting in the chair and I get to call the shots, to be perfectly honest, I'd be quite comfortable just sitting on my wallet. Now, the same caveats as you, Mick, where if Dan Vladar chooses to go elsewhere, my priority would be trying to find a goalie partner for Dan Vladar, whether that's going to be, or for Dustin Wolf, pardon me, whether that's going to be a 1B situation or somebody to compete with Cooley for that backup spot. And then again, if I have the hunch that I'm going to be losing a right shot defenseman that plays 23 minutes a night, I might make it a priority to make sure I have another right shot defenseman coming into the organization. Doesn't necessarily need to be a guy that's going to eat up all of those 23 minutes, but just somebody that can come in and give you competitive minutes in your bottom four so that maybe a young defenseman coming into your lineup is a little bit more insulated. I do think that there's going to be a lot of competition internally to make the blue line for the Calgary Flames, more so on the left side than perhaps the right. But by and large, I'm not giving out massive amounts of term. I'm not giving out massive dollars. I'm just trying to tweak things here and there to fill gaps that I could see coming up either on July 1 or if it happens to go beyond that somewhere later into the summer.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Anderson thing, now that it feels like, based on what you're hearing, whether it was Frank last hour or Elliot Friedman on the latest 32 Thoughts, like it sure does feel like at some point between now and March and the trade deadline, Rasmus is going to be elsewhere. And maybe it's this summer that it ends up happening, and not knowing what they might get back from him in a trade. Maybe they get another defenseman back, and that is something that they could plug in right away. But the area that I look at, and I'm with you, friends, is defense. And I think that you could, if Joel Hanley's going to be walking, and if Rasmus Anderson isn't going to be here anymore, you know, now it clearly marks Mackenzie Weegar as your number one defenseman. No questions asked. And you can play him every night on the right side now. I think that if you find yourself a left or a right shot or both in free agency, I don't think there's a big problem with that, because Zane Parekh's potentially likely going to play the right side this year, and Braden Pahal is with you as well, but a little bit more depth on the right side could always help. And, you know, on the left side, if Joel Hanley isn't back, you're talking about Kevin Ball, and then there's a bit of a drop. You've got Jake Bean, you've got maybe Kuznetsov or Soloviev or somebody else in the system who might make the team, but you're not 100% sure. If they were to find themselves, like I look at Ryan Lindgren in Colorado as a potential interesting ad as a 27-year-old left shot defense. If they were to go down that road, I think you could understand why. So yeah, for me, I think if Vladar walks, there's almost zero question in my mind. I can almost guarantee you, Mick, that they're going to sign a goaltender. Yeah. Like that I think is going to happen. But I'm really curious if they go and make not a big splash, but if they do have somebody targeted on defense they'd like to bring in free agency.
Well, and I mean, you look at trades too, and you know what can happen in that regard. Like, we don't know if, you know, maybe Craig Conroy has a defenseman, you know, slated somewhere in a potential trade. Like, we know that he's a guy who's always open to conversation and, you know, really does his due diligence to make sure that he's exploring literally all options out there. So if there was a trade to be had as well to pick up a, you know, a defenseman, I don't see that being out of the realm of possibility either. And, you know, that's something that, you know, we don't know, but he may not know as well. Like it may not be a deal that's had yet. So there's just, I mean, there's so much that can happen in the next week over the course of the summer, so many different scenarios that, yeah, like I said, it's hard to peg exactly what they're going to do. But I do think that goaltending defense is that's the priority.
It's Megan Mickelson with us on this Tuesday edition of Flames Talk. Steinberg Vickers along with you as well. Let's talk Justin Kirkland. He joined us on Monday's program. And boy, you sure could tell when Kirkland joined Wes and I about a month and a half ago when he was named the Masterton Trophy nominee for the Flames. And then again, when he spoke with Vix and I on Monday, Mick, you can just tell how much gratitude exists from him towards the Calgary Flames and how much he really embraces being a part of this organization. And even though last year there was a nightmare scenario that played into it with a season-ending ACL injury right when he was hitting the best stride he's ever hit in his NHL career, and yet you still pick up the gratitude and just how much he has enjoyed the decision to join the Flames organization. That's why it was pretty awesome to see him sign back for a year on Monday. What in your eyes stood out to you, Mick, on what made Justin Kirkland such a feel-good story for the team last year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's his background and what he went through and going through a severe car crash and, you know, coming back from that. But, I think you hear where he's been, how hard he's had to work to make it to the NHL level to get here. Ryan Huska talks about that all the time. And just, you know, it's basically everything he does is about being an NHL player. So you think about his story, where he's come from, and it's really inspiring. And to have someone like that in the locker room, it's a great thing to have. And I think it really adds to just the culture and the dynamic of having a group that, you know, has players like that, that work their absolute tails off. So you like to see guys that work that hard, who have, you know, overcome so much adversity and so many challenges. You like to see them find success. So it's a feel good story in that regard. For me, the way that he played before he was injured, I think that he's earned this 1 year extension because he was that good. And I really like his size. He's 6'3". I like his versatility. He can play center. He can play on the wing. I actually think he, in some ways, plays bigger than his size in the way that he's heavy on pucks. He was physical. He's a good two-way player. He battles. I love his compete level. Love his shootout move, too, of course. Yeah. I had a couple of really good chats with him about that. And just how he has refined that and worked on that. I'm still blown away that he can pick that one tiny little hole every single time he does that shootout move. But he's a guy who can put up points as well. So, I mean, what more do you want out of a player than all of those things? A reliable guy who's good in the room, who can put up points. So I'm excited for him. I remember it was back when the team was in Anaheim and they had the mom's trip, and Kirkland was on the trip. Anthony Mantha was also there, and I was in the gym at the hotel, and Mantha and Kirkland were in there doing their rehab. And I know I've talked a lot about it. I had the same ACL injury that both of those guys had, and so the three of us were riding the bike in there, and we were calling it the knee club. So I mean, I also, you know, in that respect, I know how hard that rehab is, and so for him to go through that, come out the other side, I know he's skating, says he's feeling really good, to have the opportunity to continue on with, you know, where he left off before he got hurt, I'm really excited for him, and he's just a really nice, great guy too. So I'm excited to chat with him at training camp too.
Yeah, he's a masterclass in perseverance. It's so cliche to say, but you flip the dictionary open and there's going to be a picture of him. We mentioned the accident. You mentioned coming back from this injury. You mentioned the fact that he had to wait 10 years from his draft day before he scored his first NHL goal. I think the thing that impressed me most prior to the injury was his ability to really sort of settle down the fourth line for Calgary. I think at times it was a weak spot or a weakness for the team, and we saw many games where, you see them get dropped down to 5, 6, 7 minutes, and I think Kirkland really helped stabilize that, and he'd be a guy I would pencil in for that fourth line C. But it's hard not to pick the shootout. I mean, I know there was only 4 attempts, but 3 goals on 4 attempts, absolutely critical to get the Flames to, you know, one more shootout win, and they're playing playoff hockey, and Justin Kirkland would have played a big part of that. It's just rarely do you see a guy come in with no NHL goals, get his first NHL goal, be placed in the shootout, and then be so effective at it. His AHL numbers are fantastic in the shootout, but he mentioned on Monday that he was a little surprised he got that first tap. I don't know how you don't come away impressed with a 75% efficiency rate in the shootout.
Yeah, it's crazy, hey, that like you can actually make the, and so could you, so can Vix. Like we can actually make the case for a guy who was, and a great story, but he was a fourth line guy for a good chunk of his time in the NHL, and yet you can make the case that, you know, that fourth line guy doesn't get hurt, they're probably in the playoffs because that's probably one more. There's probably one more shootout win that he helps them pick up, and that's 1 point. And I'm not trying to like make it and kick Flames fans in the gut when I say that. It just it underlines how crucial that part of what he brings to the table is.
Well, yeah, and just that depth, right? And I think, like, I remember when he got hurt and, you know, we found out that it was season ending. And I was, you know, in my head, I'm like, that's a massive loss. And, you know, not that he was a top line guy or anything like that. Just think that his value in the role that he played, it was huge. And I agree, Vex. Like, I do think he settled that fourth line down, but I also think he gave it some pop and a little bit of juice. Yep. And he made it a lot more dangerous too. So yeah, he was a huge loss, but it'll be great to have him back.
Yeah. Hey, while we were on hiatus on Flames Talk, Adam Klapka also signed, maybe this is our last conversation that we'll have, but on this week's convo, but Adam Klapka signs a 2-year deal, 2 years, one way, and a nice little number at $1.25 million per year. It's clearly a show of faith from the Flames in what they think they've got in Adam Klapka. And then on the other hand, it definitely puts some new expectations on the big man's shoulders entering training camp. What are our expectations for Adam Klapka entering next season, knowing that he's got that nice new contract in tow?
Yeah, I do think it is a show of faith from the Flames and that they really believe that they have a good player there. And I think that he's shown that. He showed it at the end of the season, just, you know, in the way he sort of figured out, you know, with his size, with his skill set, you know, how he was going to be an effective player at the NHL level. So he really seems to have figured that out. So I think the next step for him is doing that consistently over the course of 1-2 seasons. And, you know, I think for him, it's a bit of a show me contract. Like, this is his opportunity. This is his chance. If he's able to take advantage of it and to be a big player for this team, not just physically, but, you know, putting up some points as well. If he's going to be a big player, he's going to have to show it the next couple of years. So I think it's a massive opportunity for him. I do think that there is a lot of potential there, but I also know, you know, as a former player, one of the hardest things to do and to figure out is to play your game consistently. So I think that's what I'm going to be keeping an eye on moving into next season is, you know, one, is he going to be able to play at the level that he finished the season at? And can he do it on a consistent basis?
Yeah, I'm not sure what to make or what sort of expectation to put on him, because to be perfectly honest, I could see him playing right wing on all four lines. And that's both a tip of the cap to his versatility, but also leaves question as to what his absolute potential is. And you mentioned the run he went on at the end of the season. I think it was 4 goals and 4 assists over the course of the final 10 games playing a top-line role for Calgary. Is it fair to assume that he's going to pick up right where he left off? I don't necessarily think it is. Is it fair to immediately pen him in as a fourth-line right winger? I don't think it is either. So I guess, in a sense, he's an unknown quantity, even though he has played 30 some odd games. I'm just really curious to see what happens with him in his further development. Yeah. If he's able to continue some of that. Again, I don't think a 0.8 point per game guy is necessarily a fair expectation to put, but I am curious with the new contract, with the show of faith of it being 2 years, it's literally life-changing money for a guy that maybe 4 years ago didn't even know he was still going to be playing hockey at this point. I'm just really curious to see what he can become both next season and beyond.
Yeah, it's it's funny, Mick, when Adam joined Logo a couple days after signing, he talked about how it was only a few years ago that he was thinking about like getting a real person job. He was kind of, I was playing in the second league in the Czech Republic and maybe this isn't going to happen for me. Maybe it's time to go do something else. And now he just signs with the $2.5 million guarantee, right?
Yeah.
It's like that is life-changing money. You could tell the gratitude in his voice and how there's nothing taken for granted here. And that's why I don't think we're talking about a guy who's resting on any laurels, whether or not he is permanently or long-term playing with Huberdeau and Kadri for next season. I don't know. That'll remain to be seen, although what a big boost and what found money that would be for the Flames. But regardless, I think this guy is going to come with the same type of drive, the same type of hunger, the same type of motivation as he has at any other point, which is good news because that means you're going to be getting a hungry Adam Klapka once again. And we saw what a hungry Adam Klapka could do in the final few weeks of the season. I don't know if it's going to be top 6 minutes all year, but I think it would be a bit of a shock if we're not talking about him being a guy that is, we're like, hey, where do we put this guy? Where are the Flames going to put him? Where can he make his biggest impact as we're going through training camp? Like, I'm expecting a nice season for the young man next year.
Yeah, I don't think the Flames know exactly where they're going to put him either. Sure, they might have, you know, an idea of where they want to try him, but that's what I like about this contract, it being 2 years, because it gives him and it gives them a little bit of runway to figure out, you know, what that is and where exactly he fits and what exactly his role is. So I think that they were patient with him, you know, this last season, and it paid off. And by giving him 2 years with this contract, I think that they're showing some patience as well. But he should, in my mind, he should come into training camp with a ton of confidence.
Yeah, no doubt. How was the Fresca? Good Fresca?
Fantastic.
Okay, that's what I like to hear. hey, we will. We'll maybe target Thursday for next week because Tuesday's free agency day. So maybe cool. We'll target Thursday for next week to chat again. For now, enjoy the final week of school. Hey.
Oh, I will.
Good luck on those packed lunches. Thanks, Mick. Great stuff as always.
All right. Bye, guys.
That's Megan Mickelson, color voice of the Flames, joins us every week here on Flames Talk, joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. It's Steinberg and Vickers this hour on Flames Talk. Cam Shan, our outstanding producers this hour on Flames Talk, and this hour is the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale's on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.